will tell you that this morning I'm a little conflicted and have been conflicted for several days now because of all of the Beatitudes, I think mercy is probably the hardest one to grasp. It's perhaps the hardest one for us in America to completely understand. It is perhaps the hardest one to articulate the way that Jesus meant it to be understood and heard on that day when he made his way to the mountainside and sat down and began to teach principles that would reflect and be different and unique than what the world in which he was living in would understand and receive them. My prayer has been over the last 24 to 36 hours that I would be able to share this the way that Jesus intended it to be. Our text is this, Matthew 5, verse 7, it says this, "Blessed are the merciful, for they," and like others, "they and they only will be shown mercy." It is the only beatitude that the character quality of being merciful is also the blessing back received. They shall receive mercy. If I am merciful, and if I demonstrate mercy, then I also receive mercy back. And it's quite unique in that, because if you see in verse 3, it says, "Blessed is the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, so they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled." They're different. The character quality and the reward back are different. But here, when Jesus says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy," it is the same quality. It is the same characteristic. If I want mercy, then I need to be merciful. And if I am merciful, then I will receive mercy. I believe there's two reasons why it is hard to understand this concept of mercy. I think first and foremost, it is because most people's definition of mercy is a little contrary or skewed to what Jesus is talking about here. Go over, if you would, to Luke chapter 10. I want to demonstrate it for you. I don't want to throw water on some of you today if you come here and you happen to know your spiritual gift and your spiritual gift happens to be the gift of mercy. I don't want to have you go home and be disturbed or discouraged. If you're here today and you don't know what your spiritual gift is, but you think you know what mercy is, I want to encourage you to be more merciful, but I want you to understand what Jesus is really talking about when it comes to mercy. In Luke chapter 10, verse 25, it says, "On one occasion, an expert of the law stood up to test Jesus. 'Teacher,' he asked, 'what must I do to inherit eternal life?' Jesus said, 'What is written in the law?' He replied, 'How do you read it?' And he answered, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself.' Jesus says this, 'You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live.'" In other words, have a right relationship with the Lord and have a right relationship with others. But Jesus doesn't end there. The man says, but he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor? So who am I to go out and love? Who am I to go out and let's put it in our context of today. Who do I show mercy on and what way do I show mercy?" Because here's why I think some people's definition of mercy is to demonstrate compassion or to have compassion or to feel merciful. And I would submit to you today that that definition is a not completely accurate definition. It is not a complete definition of what Jesus Christ is calling people to do, attitudes that ought to be. Remember, these are attitudes that lead to action. How do I know when I'm truly demonstrating mercy correctly? How do I know when I'm merciful? Now, some people think that, you know, they are compassionate and they confuse compassion with mercy. Now, let me explain. Let me give you a couple illustrations here. How many of you like those commercials on TV of those emaciated animals? You know what I do? I turn the channel. How many of you like and will watch all of those commercials when there's emaciated children? Now, let me tell you what mercy isn't. Mercy is not turning the channel because you feel bad. But there are some people that get their definition of mercy mixed up in that. Oh, I'm so merciful. I can't look at emaciated children or emaciated pets. And I don't want to diminish that, but I want you to understand what mercy is. Mercy is not a feeling. Okay? It is not something that it makes me feel good or bad, depending on the situation. Notice how Jesus describes it. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. Now, we would all agree that this man was not merciful. In fact, he was too busy or too preoccupied, or maybe he was praying. So, too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But notice this, a completely different individual, a Samaritan. This man would have been a Jew. A Samaritan passes by. They were hated by the Jews. They were not friends. As he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, took pity on him. Now notice this. Most of us, or most Christians, I think, get caught up in this concept. We get the first part of it right. Oh, we pity those animals, or we pity those children, or we pity somebody at a corner, or we pity somebody on 16th Street Mall, or just something like that. And we go, oh man, that's so bad. I just feel so bad for them. And we get caught in feeling bad. Now, this man had the first part right. He felt pity, or he took pity on him. But notice this. It led to something. He went to him, and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he put the man on his own donkey, this man's donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three, Jesus says, do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? Now, when Jesus is making these statements and he's teaching this lesson, obviously the answer is C, the Samaritan. The Samaritan went beyond seeing the man. He went beyond having pity on the man. He went and he ministered to the man. Mercy. When Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, blessed are those who are merciful, so they shall obtain mercy, he is talking about this concept of it goes beyond looking. It goes beyond feeling. It goes to an action. let me help you understand what this word mercy really means. It means to give help to the wicked or rescue the miserable. To give help to the wicked or to rescue the miserable. Now, here's the second reason why I believe understanding mercy is difficult for us, and I think it's unique, and it's growing ever more unique in our culture. If the first one is by people's definition, well, I just feel bad for people. That's not mercy. That's just feeling bad. Mercy, true biblical mercy, always leads to some other point. But here's the second reason why it's difficult to preach mercy. I do not want to make this a political statement, but I'm going to be political for a moment. Our government is legislating mercy. I woke up Monday night, and I did not sleep all of Monday night. And it was weird because I woke up and it was kind of a nightmare, and it changed from a nightmare to being really creative. It was crazy night. Didn't sleep a wink. Here's what I came up with. What America does not need is Obamacare. What America needs is sin care, and Jesus already paid for it. Now, I will tell you this, that when I make those statements, some in here that are my friends will go, well, don't you care for people who can't have health care? Yeah. That doesn't mean I'm uncaring. But I will tell you this, that you cannot legislate caring in a country. It never was designed that way. Because part of the other thing with mercy comes, I need to be discerning. If you had a person in your life that was a drug addict, meth, marijuana. By the way, did you notice some of our marijuana is now in candy in Dallas, Texas area? I guess now we're an exporter of marijuana. Man, if we had some Denver cops here, I'd really put them on the job, right? We got Jolly Ranchers filled of our marijuana in Texas. I guess that's the reason why they call it Jolly Rancher. I'll be here all day. You can't legislate it. If you had a person that you cared about that was a drug addict and they came to you and said, hey, give me $20. Would you do it? Because part of mercy means I need to be discerning. You'd be crazy to give a drug addict $20. Why? Because $20 goes straight into their nose or straight into their arm. The same way if it was an alcoholic. There is a concept that Jesus is talking about. Don't just do mercy for the sake of mercy. Listen, there are some things. There are people in this country that needs mercy. They are unable to take care of themselves. Unable to take care of themselves is different than unwilling to take care of themselves. And so the government legislates it, and the government says, I'm going to take from those who have to give mercy to those that don't have, but in reality, many of those that don't have don't want to have. You could all tell stories of radio stations and articles that you've read of people that are willingly on welfare because they make more from home than they would if they had a real job. Now, that does not make the believer uncaring or unfeeling or unmerciful. But it means also that everything that we do needs to be in light and done in light of the Word of God. The Bible is quite clear. If a lazy man refuses to work, the lazy man doesn't eat. If a man will not take care of his own house, he is a fool. He is not to be honored. And yet you have person after person after person, and I will be honest with you, I do not know what the percentages are. I can tell you this, that by just a very glance of society, the numbers seem to be going greater and greater and greater of people that are just sitting there with handouts. Now notice our story here in Luke chapter 10. Was this man, did he have a handout? This man was in desperate need. And no government legislated that need to be met. Mercy cannot come from a government. Mercy comes from individuals. Not that are mandated to be merciful, but because we want to be merciful. I would submit to you that America is one of the most merciful nations on the planet. And we have become the most merciful nation on the planet because, in large part, for the most part, Jesus has been the center of that nation. That is quickly going away. Because the more that the government comes in and takes the benevolence of good people, the less that those people are able to be good. Now, I told you some of you aren't going to like me after this, but I'm trying to teach it and preach it the way that Jesus Christ wants it to be understood. There is an element of discernment that mercy must execute in order to give help to the wicked and rescue the miserable. There's another concept of this, and it is this. It is not about contemplation or meditation. In other words, it's not, boy, let me think about the babies, or let me think about the kids, or let me think about the pets, and that's mercy. Let me think about this, or, you know, just you kind of think about it and think about it and think about it. It's not just about contemplation and meditation. There is a third thing that we learn from our story in Luke chapter 10. It is compassion in action. Mercy always is demonstrated in action. Now, let's apply that to one very simple verse. Mr. Ryan, would you come here for a second, please? He's my buddy.
You remember that John 3:16 verse that we talked? Can you say it? Say it.
John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
All righty. Thank you, buddy. Give him a round of applause. I knew he had it in him because I taught him that. Thanks, Mom and Dad. Did you see it? Did you catch it? Why did God send a son? Because we were in desperate need. Did you catch it? For God so loved compassion that he did what? Sent. Action. That's mercy. It is not mercy if you don't do anything, if you fail to act, if you're unwilling to act. And here's the other avenue of this. You also have to be able to act. It does not make me unmerciful to not adopt every child that needs to be adopted. Last week I was on Facebook and one of the kids in my youth group in New Jersey posted a picture of five kids that needed adopted. And I got to tell you something. I thought for just one half a second that that'd be cool to do. And I thought, man, I need a 15-passenger van to get all the kids around. And they told the story of each one of those kids, and my heart went out for the stories of those kids. Now that didn't mean, and I didn't flip the page, I read it, And my heart went out. That's compassion. I get that. But it's not in my way of being able to minister to those kids. So I wasn't, quote unquote, merciful to them, because compassion in action is mercy. Now, what I did do is I prayed, God, bring in a family that can love on these kids. And sometimes that's what we have, and that's what we're left with. But we can't save everybody. We can't go and try to, you know, sacrifice our lives for the sake of the world necessarily. Some people do that. But mercy is when it's in our opportunity to be able to act, we act. How many of you, and don't raise your hands, but I want you to think about this. How many of you get very, your heart goes out every time you stop at a stop sign in Denver because there's somebody with a cardboard sign? And you wish you could give more and wish you could give more and you feel bad. But the bottom line is you also have to be discerning. You don't know where that money is going. You don't know where that money is headed. You don't know if you're making matters worse or better by handing them $5. Now you say, well, Pastor, are you saying don't ever be merciful? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you have to let the Holy Spirit of God dictate and lead your life to know what you should do or what you shouldn't do. Listen, an act of mercy might be, when you go to Safeway today, buying an extra box of Girl Scout cookies that you don't need. An act of mercy might be giving a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus. An act of mercy might be putting an arm around somebody that's having a bad day at work and saying, hey, can I pray for you? But it's an action. An act of mercy may be telling a drug addict, you're not going to give them $20. An act of mercy from our government may be telling people that do not work and will not work to get a job. Now, I know you didn't come to church to hear this. And this is difficult because of what we've allowed mercy to be. In fact, now we have aligned political parties. One party is the party of mercy. The other party has been labeled as the party of me. Right? You understand what's going on? How dare you not help everybody? Jesus didn't. Can I say something? Jesus ministered for 3 years. He healed a lot of people, but he didn't heal them all. In fact, on the day Jesus died, there were a lot of people in Jerusalem that died also with Jesus. Not on the cross, just died. There were a lot of people that he left behind that were leprous and were blind and were lame. Does that make Jesus uncaring or unfeeling or unmerciful? Absolutely not. He is the epitome of all of it. But you and I, if we're going to be like Jesus, we need to understand that the mercy that God wants us to demonstrate is truly compassion in action. And that doesn't mean that we have to do it to every person. But what it does mean is that we better be discerning. And if we're going to do mercy, then we go, and as we learn from the Good Samaritan, that we do mercy the whole way. We help them. Mercy needs to cost us something. Now, I want you to understand what mercy means. Because there are acts of mercy that you and I can display to people that really is merciful. It's an action. And there's three of them that I want to focus on. First and foremost, it means that I can forgive the degenerates. Move over to Matthew chapter 18. And I've chosen my words very carefully today because I want to kind of come from the perspective of how sometimes we feel. Notice what Peter says in verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother who sins against me? Now be honest. If somebody sins against you, how do you refer to them? As saints or, man, they're a degenerate? Be truthful. Oh, man, those people are just ridiculous, and, man, they need to be perfect like me, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And so Peter comes and he says, you know, Jesus, how many times do I forgive my brother who sins against me? I mean, he's really wronged me. Do I do it seven times? And Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Now, let me tell you what an act of mercy is. It means that I'm going to forgive those people that have wronged me. The question is, a brother that has sinned against me, not me against the brother, a me, I now have the ability to forgive or not forgive. In mercy, what do I do? Well, if we're going to be like Jesus, then what do? We forgive as he has forgiven us. I will tell you this, my friends, there is no one more degenerate than you. And God forgave you. And if God forgave you, then in the act of mercy, compassion, and action, I forgive other degenerates. Here's the second thing that we can do when we understand what mercy truly means. It means this, that I can help the despairing. Go all the way back to Proverbs 20, chapter 3. I want you to see verse 27. It says this, do not withhold good from those who deserve it. Notice the biblical principle, those who deserve it. And then he says, when it is in your power to what? To do it. You may not all have power to do certain things. But when you have power, when God puts you in gives you a specific person at a specific place at a specific time to be merciful to someone, then the Bible says we're to do it. When he gives us those resources, there are certain things that I can't do. There are certain things that you can't do. And that's okay. But the act of mercy is when God brings those and aligns those all by his sovereignty that we can absolutely bless another person. When we can show mercy to another person. Sometimes you may pull out at a stop sign $5 and hand it to the guy because the Holy Spirit of God prompted you. Sometimes you might cook some fried chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy and corn and bring it over to your pastor's house because God's given you that ability. By the way, you know why I said look at each other today and tell them what you would hope to have gotten for Valentine's Day? My father corrected me. He goes, Valentine's Day's passed. I know, but Harry still hasn't gotten Debbie anything yet.
Yeah, I did. Didn't I?
A baby See what I mean? Dear God, have mercy on Harry. But see, at the right moment, God's going to open these doors. The thing is if we're going to be led by the Spirit, then we need to have an attitude of mercy, a willingness, a desire to be merciful. But we may not be able to be merciful to every person that God brings in our way. Discerning, understanding, wise. Verse 28 says this, do not say to your neighbor, come back later, I'll give it tomorrow, when you now have it with you. I mean, it is, when God lays it on your heart, when you have that opportunity, you take the opportunity. I try to stay away from impulse buying. I try to look out and watch for impulse blessing. Monday night, I did a little study on this in preparation for today, last Monday night. Tuesday, we dropped our friends off at the airport, and I needed to run to Lifeway, and I needed to buy some books for ministry, and I got some books and went up to pay, and the guy says, and maybe you're kind of like me, you get up there to pay, and oh, you wanna give a buck for, you know, starving people and somewhere in the world, and some of you just go. By the way, would you like to give any money for my four starving children in the world? And it's very hard to say no. Gentleman behind the counter says, we've got Bibles that we give unwed pregnant mothers. When they come through, would you like to give a Bible? And I go, sure. How much is it? $5. I go, okay, put it on there. I thought, man, God, way to make me practice when I'm about ready to preach. So I, in my mind, as he's doing it, I just kind of prayed, you know, Lord, I don't know what lady's going to get this Bible, but please have it be an impact in her life. Sometimes that's mercy. Other times going way out of your way, like the Samaritan did. Listen, I'm going to give you 2 silver coins, and I'm taking care of them, but I got to go away. I got more business, but when I get back, I'm going to take care of whatever the bill is. I would submit to you that mercy has to cost us something. It costs God his son. I think mercy has to cost. If I forgive the degenerates in my life, it costs me. No longer am I God. No longer am I holding that over their at on their account. I'm no longer judge, jury, and executioner when I forgive. I release them, and I release me. When I help the despairing, it has to cost me something. I need to feel that act of mercy, just like Jesus felt that act of mercy on the cross, just like the Father felt that act of mercy when he had to turn from his own son because he was laying the iniquity of us all on his son, Jesus Christ. The third thing that mercy means is that it gives me the opportunity to bless my adversaries. This is what I'm talking about with some of the costs. Go over, if you would, to Luke chapter 6. Luke 6, verse 32. It says this, "If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to repay in full. But now can you imagine what people are about to do when they hear these words? Love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Mercy costs. Then your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." To be able to do things without any thought of repayment. That's what mercy really is. Compassion in action. Those people that are your adversaries, not just people that you love, but people that maybe are against you. Maybe it's your neighbors with the barking dog. You know, maybe it's the person at the office with the annoying habit. Maybe it's some family member that just gets under your skin. You know, who knows what it is? But when I practice mercy and I demonstrate mercy, it means that I can bless my adversaries. That's quite different than what our world says and how our world responds. But let me tell you what mercy does for me. Go over, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3. And as we walk through this, I want you to ask yourself this question: God, who have you given in my life that I could be merciful to? That I can bless? Because here's what mercy does. Number one, it frees me to express compassion. Remember, it's not just feeling compassion, it's expressing compassion. Mercy is compassion in action. Look at what verse 12 says. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, with kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Do you realize that maybe one of the greatest acts of mercy that you may have to another person is to be patient or forbearing with them? One of the greatest acts of compassion. But God says that when I demonstrate mercy, what mercy allows me to do is it allows me to express compassion for another person. Understanding all the way that compassion has been expressed to me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here's the second thing that it does. It frees me to release my hurts. Verse 13, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. So you know your adversaries? You know the person that's the degenerate in your life? You forgive that person because God forgave you in Christ Jesus. He says, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. One of the most merciful things that I can do to another person is to release my hurts that they have created against me. I can release my hurts by forgiving them and accepting them as individuals in this world. Now, that does not mean in all situations you allow them back into your life. That's not what we're talking about. But when I forgive another person, I really am changing my life. No longer am I allowing the past to dictate who I am. I live forward. And my present is changed because my past no longer drags me down. So sometimes when I forgive, not only am I granting them mercy, but I'm granting myself mercy as well. Because remember, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Think of the blessings God gives you and me when we practice what He did for us. God forgave us in Christ Jesus. Imagine the blessing of being right with God because we've let others be forgiven in our lives. His mercies are new every morning. What mercy does is it frees me to imitate Jesus. Go over to Mark chapter 10. Verse 46, he comes to blind Bartimaeus. Says they came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving a city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he had heard that Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, oh, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked the blind man. "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," Jesus said, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Now, what I want you to know is that I don't expect you to go and heal anybody that's blind today. But Jesus had power to minister to that man. He had the ability to minister to that man. When I have an ability to minister and bless someone else's life, like Jesus did to blind Bartimaeus, then when I demonstrate mercy, I am also imitating the Lord Jesus Christ. It's compassion in action. Now, if Jesus would have said, "You know what? Hey, have a good day. You know, have a nice meal. I wouldn't have been very merciful. What did blind Bartimaeus ask for? "Jesus, have mercy on me." What did Jesus do? He blessed that man. Keeping with that illustration, from a spiritual perspective, we were all blind. And Jesus blessed us with spiritual vision to see him. Mercy. Here's the last thing. It frees me, when I demonstrate mercy, it frees me to receive mercy back. To be able to receive the great and the deep things of God, to see the things that he's done in my life as special blessings every day. The blessing of sight, the blessing of touch, the blessing of taste, the blessing of breath, the blessing of strength, the blessing of enjoyment. All of those things come from God as he pours out his mercies on us. And what the Bible seems to indicate is the more that I'm merciful, the more the mercies of God becomes more rich and more abundant on us back. So as I am going out of my way to be merciful to other people, God is going out of his way to bless me back, mercy on top of mercy, on top of mercy, on top of mercy. Now, this does not mean that this is a wealth, health, and prosperity mercy. That's not what it's talking about. I can't completely explain the mercy of God any more than I can completely explain the grace of God, or the love of God, or the holiness of God, because I look at it one-sided from man's perspective. But what I can tell you this is true is that the mercy of God is truly amazing, and it's awesome, and it's never-ending, and it's perfect because it comes from God. And to be able to see this and to experience this and to be able to partner with God, because as I am merciful, I receive his mercy back. It is quite a unique attribute. It is quite hard to express it in everyday living. The one thing I can challenge you as we close today is if you have a heart for mercy, go before the Lord and say, "Direct my path. Direct my thoughts. Give me wisdom. And when you give me someone to be merciful, let me go as the Samaritan did, as Jesus did. Let me go all the way in being merciful. Let it cost me something, Father, so that I might receive something back from you that is truly awesome and amazing." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your mercy and your grace in our lives. And Lord, I pray that even now as we close, your Spirit would be moving in our midst to help teach us the things that I was unable to do. Father, keep us near the cross where mercy pours out. In Jesus' name, amen.